To have the peace of Jesus is to have the presence of Jesus. Amen? So no matter what we're facing, we can stand in peace. I don't care what it is, whatever you're facing, you can stand in peace. The world can't give you peace.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you so much for tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. The message today is simply titled, Stand. Now let's listen in.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning. I hope you're already there. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, but let's start reading. Let's read it again. Let me just read to you, if you don't mind, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where Paul the Apostle, he writes to us as he's closing out this great epistle. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And the church says, amen. Did you notice the word stand was repetitious in the reading this morning? And that's what the title of this sermon is. We are believers, and we can stand in the incredible gospel of peace that has been given unto us because our feet have been shod. The word shod literally means shoe. Amen? So with all that being said, you know, the only way that we can stand against the wiles of the devil is putting on the armor of God. There's no other way. We've already put on truth, and we've put on the breastplate of righteousness, Jesus' perfect righteousness. And now we're going to do something this morning, and this is a very important message, because verse 15 is very confused among not only pastors, but also among the Christian community as a whole. And we need to make sure we define verse 15 very carefully this morning, because we are in a real war. Amen? Yes, we live in his territory. He's seeking whom he may devour, but he's also a defeated devil. Amen? Now, with all that being said, as we look at the third piece of armor this morning, with the shodding of our feet, you know, probably and no doubt, Paul there, you know, Ephesians is written from prison. And I know he's chained to a guard, probably one on each side, and perhaps he's looking at the Roman armor, and the Lord is speaking to him as he pins this. I don't know. But the first century Roman soldier was very well equipped. So Paul, if he's using that for an illustration, we have to bring it up to the spiritual, amen, not the natural. So our feet, they have been shod, it says, and watch this, a past tense, by the way, having been shod, but it was shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation means simply not the state of being prepared, but already prepared. Does that make sense? We're not going to prepare ourselves. We have already been prepared to be ready. So the word preparation also means that firm footing or that solid foundation so we can stand. You know, feet that are fitted with the readiness that comes from the firm and solid knowledge of the gospel of peace is literally our foundation. And that gospel of peace that we have, that's been committed unto us, that is what enables the believer to stand firm, to stand sure-footed in the battles that we may face in this life. And we will face them. In other words, we right now, whether you know it or not, because of the gospel of peace, we have a readiness already built into us to face the enemy in any conflict or whatever you may be going through in your life. Today, ever think about shoes? I started thinking about shoes earlier today. I mean, I looked at my closet. I have, sneakers and loafers and flip-flops or whatever you call them. And I used to have a set of bicycle shoes, you know, that clip onto those when you don't ever wear those. But that's another story. Don't have time for that. But, I mean, we have dress shoes. We have loafers. We have football shoes. We have basketball shoes. We have track shoes. We have so many shoes, it's almost sinful, isn't it? Yeah. And so, you know, with all that being said, shoes literally have become idols. I just read a report in New York where that teenage gang beat that girl. They killed her. Teenage girl. Over a pair of, let me make sure I get it right, Air Jordan basketball shoes or whatever they are. You know, and so that really sparked my interest. So I went and I started looking on eBay. Did you know I can buy a pair of Nike Air Jordan? Now, they're used for the small sum of $5,899. And if I really want to get wild, there's the Nike Zoom Kobe, only $5,000 on eBay. And if you turn on your TV today, and I'm sure you do, and I mean there's no judgment in this, I'm not condemning, I don't care, but there's a lot of pastors that wear some expensive shoes. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. I mean, I didn't know that. Pastor Raul is the one who pointed it out to me, you know, and I looked down at his shoes and I said, I understand. No, listen, I mean, some pastor, they're wearing those tennis shoes or whatever you call them today, you know, $1,000 to $5,000. I'm not condemning. I guess I'm just old. I don't know. Matter of fact, so I looked that up, and one pastor talking about shoes this morning, standing with our feet shod, one pastor wears, I never heard of this one. It's called Air Yeezy 2 Red October. They're only $5,611. Someone recently from another Calvary Chapel in California, they came and they visited here, you know, and so forth, and they were visiting Pastor Raul. Pastor Raul. I mean, it's just one of those things this morning. And so he came up and he said, hey, Pastor Raul, he said, man, have you checked, I'm reading exactly what he said. He said, man, have you checked out your pastor's shoes? He's wearing Allbirds. He is so cool. Yes, I am. I am very cool. That's right. I am wearing Merino Wool Allbirds from Australia, $95. However, they are the only shoe literally that I can wear because they are so comfortable. You see what I mean? But here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you're wearing Jordans or Kobe's or whatever they're called today or Allbirds. That's not going to protect you against the war that we have against the wiles of the wicked one. Amen? You have to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and there's no other way. Look at that verse again. It says in verse 15, having, past tense, shod, or shoes on your feet. Look at these shoes. They come in a box, if you will, with the preparation of the gospel or the good news of peace. That is the only shoe that we need because that is the only shoe in a spiritual existence that can stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's all we have to do is we wear it. Now, here's the deal. The reason this verse is so important, I want to clear something up. Before we continue, we have to understand the text, okay? And if we don't understand the text and the meaning of the text, we're going to be in trouble. And I know that there are many believers, and this is not bad or anything, but many believers that believe that verse 15 is speaking of evangelism or sharing the good news, which we are to do that. We're called to be ambassadors, amen? And you know, if you're a student of God's Word, you might say, well, Bill, you know, I looked at my center line column reference and on that scripture, verse 15, and it pointed me all the way to back to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, which says this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And look what they do. Who proclaim what? Oh, you don't have that. You're not there. Who proclaim peace. Who bring glad tidings of good things. who proclaim salvation and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, if you were in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, and you once again went to the center reference column, it would tell you to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 15, or it would point you that direction, which says this. Paul says, and how shall they preach unless they're sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 is about the gospel, about evangelism. Amen? No, it's not. It's not about that at all. Must we share the good news? Praise the Lord. We need to be soul winners, no doubt. You know, again, we're ambassadors for Christ. So here's the deal. When you study the Bible, to know the text or to understand the text, always read the context. So you read what's before, go back 10 verses or whatnot, and the same thing, go backwards and forwards. Very important that you do that. So here, if you read the context, is the context about spiritual warfare, is it about evangelism? No. It's not about evangelism at all. It's about standing. It's about standing against the wiles of the devil. Verse 15, that word stand means that we can stand with a sure, firm readiness. And the way that we do it is the gospel of peace. This is not about evangelizing the lost or demons or anything like that. You know, we're standing against the powers of darkness. So in context, again, just so we'll make sure as we move forward, in context, you know, spiritual warfare is not about preaching here. We should preach, instant in season and out of season, but the context here is standing firm, sure-footed in battle, not spreading the good news. Why? We're fighting against an invisible enemy, not flesh and blood. Demons are not going to be saved. They're going to go to hell. Do you understand? Very important. So look at it again now. And having shod your feet with the preparation or the firmness or the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now listen carefully. The gospel of peace is our spiritual balance. We must rest right there. You know, remember about walking worthy? You know that we're to walk worthy of our calling. Remember the word worthy there from Ephesians 4:1 means it's a picture of a set of scales. It's 5 pounds and 5 pounds, so it's perfectly balanced. So to walk worthy, we have to be equal in doctrine and equal in application. We hear the word of God. We do the word of God. And if we only hear the word of God and not do the word of God, we're in trouble, aren't we? See, we're not balanced. Well, see, peace, the gospel is peace, is our balance in spiritual warfare. Believe me, Satan doesn't want you to stand. He wants you to run. He wants you to buy the most expensive pair of Michael Jordan or whatever his name is. No offense to Michael, I don't know. You know what I mean? Whatever those things are, and say, run, run, don't stand. That's what he wants you to do. The other thing that the devil does, one of his methods and one of his schemes, is that in the midst of conflict, spiritual battles, meaning anything in our life that we're going through, but especially against the powers of darkness, here's what he wants you to do. He wants you, in the midst of the heat of the battle, when you know it's just you're tired, you're worn out, because it's accumulative, remember? He wants you to start seeking peace. He wants you to start searching for peace, and he wants you to do it in the wrong place. If you were with us online Wednesday night, remember I had to record the service about 3 or 4 hours early because they tore the roof off in this place. All of the debris came through this entire chapel. The media, the stage, this pulpit, we were covered. Man, they worked till 4 o'clock in the morning cleaning this place and getting they had to vacuum the ceiling. It was unbelievable. That's another story. That's why I need the gospel of peace. Now listen, he wants you searching. So Wednesday night, I talked about that. Remember from David, David cried out in Psalm 55:1. He says, oh, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me, hear me. In other words, come down and whisper into my ear. I need an answer, he says. He says, oh, listen, I am restless. There's no peace in my life. There's no peace in my mind. There's no peace in my heart, in other words. And, oh, Lord, hear my complaint, because I am moaning noisily. Here's why. Because of the voice of the enemy. Let me tell you what, in warfare, what happens. The voice of the enemy will always tell you, run, Forrest, run. Do you understand? That's exactly what he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to stand. He'll say to you, oh, he'll whisper to you, the voice of the enemy, look what's going on in your life. Look what's going on in the nation. Look at the riots. Look now, President Melania, look at all that's happening. Look at here you are wearing masks everywhere, you know, and you're even liking it now because you're becoming comfortable with it. You take it off and you feel naked. You're homeschooling your kids through remote learning and all the rest of it. Look at your life. You don't have any peace. David goes on, he says, oh, he doesn't have any peace. He says, oh, my heart, it's pained, severely pained within me. The terrors of death, they've fallen upon me. Fearfulness, trembling has come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. He says, I'm being turned inside and out, and I don't have any peace, Lord. So what did David say? Here it is. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. He didn't say, he should have said, like I said Wednesday night, oh, that I had wings like an eagle, and I'd soar above these problems, amen? But he wanted the fastest set of wings that he could have. He said, oh, if I had wings like a dove, here's what he would do. I would fly away, and I would be at rest, meaning I would have peace. He said, indeed, I would wander far off, and I would remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape. In other words, I would be in the wilderness in a cabin up in Colorado, man. And I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Now listen to me. We are in a battle. And you will be in a battle until the day you go home to heaven, all right? But peace from the battle is never, ever found in a location. You know, well, let's go to Hawaii. No, there's no peace in Hawaii. Or in isolation, all right? And that's what David was trying to do. See, we have supernatural spiritual shoes on right now, and we are able, by God's grace, through God's power, to stand in the greatest peace in all of the universe. Listen, peace is never a place. Peace is always a person. Jesus Christ is our peace in the storm, and Jesus Christ is our peace in the spiritual battles that we face. Amen? Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me, Jesus says, you may have peace. And then he does a contrast. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Listen, when you stand in the peace of Christ, you stand firm, don't you? You're not going to be shaken. You don't have to be shaken. You are already, every step you take, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, every step that you take, you are being led in victory, always being led in victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved one, listen, we need to be firm about this right here. Jesus told us in John 14:27, I love this, he was getting ready to leave. He was telling his disciples goodbye, and we're his disciples too. He says, peace I leave with you. I love that. Jesus is going away. He's going to the cross and he's going back to heaven. He says, I'm going to leave my own peace. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I even give to you. Oh, not as the world gives to you, do I give you. Let your heart be not troubled, and let it neither be afraid. What protects our heart? The breastplate of righteousness, remember? Yes, that's part of our armor. So what did Jesus just say? He said, I'm going away. But listen, to have the peace of Jesus is to have the presence of Jesus. Amen? So no matter what we're facing, we can stand in peace. I don't care what it is, whatever you're facing this morning, next week, you can stand in peace. The world can't give you peace. The world doesn't have peace. There's no peace for the wicked. Amen? No. Listen, we're wearing the shoes of peace, and we're in a war, and here's what God wants. The Lord Jesus, our Savior, wants you to have peace in your battle, in the spiritual battles that you face, and when you come against the wicked one. Again, this is not spreading the gospel. This is standing, if you will, in the gospel of peace, that firm-footedness. The word peace is irene in the Greek. It means a state of complete, undisturbed tranquility. It's the exact opposite of war. Do you have that peace right now? Listen, it belongs to you. It has been given unto you. If you're in the battle, and we are in the battle, loved one, you have every moment you have to say, I stand in the gospel of peace. I have the peace of God right this very, very second. Listen, there is no peace for the wicked. And not only that, I want you to catch this one. There is no peace for the wicked one and his demons. Do you understand? They are never in peace. They are confused, even though they have methods. They are confused and they don't know the next step. Do you understand? They don't know all that's happening. So with all that being said, we have a peace that the world cannot give. We have a peace that the devil can never take away. And first of all, it's our position. And that is we have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Irene. We have that peace with God right this very minute. Now listen, it is not only your present possession, it is your everlasting possession, if you will, that peace that we have with the Lord. Just like justification, remember when we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ, spotless, sinless, perfect? In other words, the moment we came to Christ, we were justified, just as if we had never sinned, declared not guilty, all right? And then something happened to us when God said, I declare you innocent and you will always be innocent because your record is Jesus's record. Now, peace with God is the same thing. It is a fact. It is not a feeling. It is the divine position of every believer. We have peace with God. It means that everything right this minute is okay between you and our Father in heaven. Why? Because it came through Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, it says that he himself, meaning Jesus, he himself is our peace. He paid for it with his own blood. Amen? Now, with all that being said, he is the only source of all peace. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to you. It says, now may the God of peace himself, his very own peace, the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Here it comes. May your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the God of peace himself means that he is the source of peace. He is the author of peace. You cannot get that supernatural peace anywhere else except from God. Remember when we put on the belt of truth and we talked about the body, the soul, and the spirit? Remember our body, we live in a body, but it's not redeemed. It's going to go back from the dust from which it was made. To be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. So we live in a body, and in our body we have what's called the soul. That is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Sometimes they can take us to places we don't want to go. Hopefully they take us to places where we need to go. But then we have the spirit. Remember, the spirit is the real you, the born-again Christian, where his spirit, Jesus' spirit, where his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the sons and the daughters of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:3 that we have to be renewed where? In the spirit, not the mind, the spirit of the mind, the new person, the new creation. That's how the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions, that's how they all get in line with the Word of God. It says in Romans 16:20, Paul says, and the God of peace will crush or trample Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We right now, you have the ability to stand absolutely firm-footed in any spiritual battle that you're facing in your life. And when I read that scripture from Romans again, it says God is the one who does the crushing. Not you, not me, but he uses your feet to do it. Amen? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus told us in Luke 10:19, he told the disciples when they came back and they were casting out devils, they were raising the dead and all that, and he says, I give you all authority over the enemy and he will by no means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Man, praise the Lord for that. That is a word of God.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the rest of today's message. Amen? And as always, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.